Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Eloy.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. And it's a big day for the White Sox. Always, every day is big in baseball. But we're actually talking a little bit about the White Sox for a change. And we're delighted to welcome in James Fegan. He joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. James, of course, covering the Sox for The Athletic. Good morning, James. How are you?
Hey, James.
I'm good. Good to hear you guys are excited about Ivan Nova's start today so much. So that's good.
It's a big one.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's the small victories that really matter. Help us out. So Eloy gets this money, and it's good coin. There's nothing wrong with getting paid. What do you think of how quickly will he be in the starting lineup? Does this mean he goes to Kansas City? Does he stick around for the extra week and then show up in Chicago? How will they handle getting him up and running now that the contract's done?
We don't really know yet. And, you know, the contract's not really official, so it's hard to say, you know, 100% that it's done, other than, you know, everyone has said that that's agreed to. But as far as the actual specifics of that, it's not really publicly known for certain, and there's not exactly a lot of easy prior precedent to look for,
right,
for how it works when you option a guy in camp and then want to recall him before camp is over. I mean, the rule is that it's a 10-day minimum unless you put somebody on the DL from the 25-man roster, and there's not a 25-man roster really yet. It doesn't seem like it'd be hard to find someone who is, you know, still kind of climbing or working up their endurance, so you can say that they're, you know, still rehabbing and need to be on the injured list now. But it's kind of weird because it's not like there's a previous prospect I can point to and say, like, well, this is how it worked with him and that's how it'll work with Eloy. But, you know, it stands to reason, you know, it doesn't seem like the Jimenez's camp signs this deal if it doesn't come with a guarantee that he breaks camp, or at least an agreement of some kind that he breaks camp on the major league team. So I assume that's what's got to happen to make this agreement work. So I expect to see him in Kansas City because I think this is all about him not having to spend any more time in the minors anymore.
James, how much of this happening now is related to the White Sox not getting Manny Machado?
You know, I can't really say it's specifically that. The White Sox certainly needed a win of some kind or something to promote on opening day to give people a reason to think about the positive things that are going on again. But this is, while there's not a lot of precedent for this specific thing happening, you know, extensions for, you know, players on the condition of calling them up or, you know, trying to figure out their service time before they make the majors is something that every team kind of discusses, and it's definitely something that you hear rumors about, you know, even going back as far as last year as something that's, you know, at least talked about in the parameters of a deal. So I can't really say that, and I wouldn't say that, you know, they lost out on Machado and thought, like, well, now we got to do something, and this is the product of that.
Where does he bat in the lineup, and where does he play in the field?
All indications of that, he's, you know, they haven't, like, completely ruled out right field, but they definitely made a switch in the halfway through last season of more left field rather than right field. I guess it's just a slightly less lower degree of responsibility, at least as far as throwing. But I was actually thinking about it a little bit. I mean, if Eloy is up and running, I think a cool thing to do with the batting order, which doesn't really have a true leadoff man, is just kind of, like, to stack people more towards the front of the order, maybe put Eloy second, just to kind of get into your best hitters as soon as possible. But I think more realistically is probably fifth, and just to kind of put them both at a lower level of focus and maybe not putting as much pressure on his plate right to go, and also kind of allows you to alternate handedness between Abreu, Alonso, and Eloy, and handedness and vulnerability to lefties or just platoon splits in general is probably one of the weaknesses of this lineup right now. So that'd probably be something that we guard against a little bit.
James, with this deal, the White Sox get 8 years of control, six guaranteed, two option years. He can make as much as $77.5 million, $43 million guaranteed. When you try to balance and look at who benefits most from this contract, where do you side?
I mean, it's a pretty even split. I mean, there are definitely good points to running down these numbers the other day, like Anthony Rendon, for example, who will not earn as much in even being a Super 2 guy in arbitration as they'll get guaranteed. But there's counterexamples of Josh Donaldson and Nolan Arenado and the guys recently who became superstars under this period of time, who got a lot more in arbitration. So the White Sox are essentially just guarded against the idea of Aloy becoming a superstar, which is a lot of what we've heard. I think he's definitely probably superstar level in terms of his bat is definitely something, but it's probably less clear what his overall value is going to be in terms of his defense. It might just be more just solid above average guy consistently, depending on how much that hurts him or how much he's moved towards a first base DH situation, even within the 6 year time span. So he's definitely getting really good value and getting kind of paid a guaranteed amount that he's going to be a very good player. I think there's room for savings, especially in the option years potentially, if he really hits that ceiling that we've talked about. So it's a good deal for the Sox in the sense that they're not going to, I really don't think they're in a position where it's going to be onerous for them to kind of have Aloy where it might be a more of a consideration that's hamstringing future free agency decisions if he's getting record arb deals and they have to kind of guard against that near as he enters like the late 20s of his prime.
James, you've watched this team through spring training. The White Sox have thus far put up the worst record in the Cactus League. Is that indicative of how the season's going to go? Do they have more talent than that? Are they we always look at spring training. You never know if someone's experimenting with something or doing something. How competitive are they going to be?
I don't know. I mean, Aloy was already going to be up in April, so I don't know how much I would move off the general 70-win prediction I was throwing out last week when people started asking me, so I could bump it up to 71 or 72. I don't think they're the worst team in baseball because they're losing Cactus League games. I haven't been doing this too long, but I feel like I've been doing it long enough to not really put too much stock in that. I think they'll be fine. I think they're, the pitching is still not really there yet to give them a chance to be a surprise wild card team or anything like that. But as far as being competitive and certainly having a very polished 22-year-old hitter with a high ceiling will help. I think they'll be better than last year, and even significantly better than last year. But when you're making the jump from 62 to 72 wins, I don't think it's one that really people appreciate too much, even as much as 72 to 82.
Fair enough. Thanks so much, James. Appreciate it,
Thanks,
bud.
Thanks, James. Good job.
Thanks for having me.
That's James Fegan from The Athletic.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.